It is Locked On Jazz for the, what are we, 23rd of November, I think.
Yeah, that seems right, doesn't it?
Sure, we'll go with that. Jazz lost to the Memphis Grizzlies last night in a game they frankly should have won. The referees didn't help, but there's larger issues that the Jazz have got to address. We'll try to break them down, plus a deep dive on the defense and what's going on that's preventing the defense from being what we know of the Utah Jazz. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Good morning to Bryce and JJ and Tyler. Few thoughts as we start this show today. The referee call late obviously has an impact and kind of has people discussing things. So, and Jaren Jackson's shot late has an impact, more than referee's call. So without the referee's call, we don't have Jaren Jackson's shot. Jaren Jackson's shot doesn't go in. We're probably not talking about the referee's call, right? So my point on this is it's a make or miss league. And we're all impacted by the end result in a manner that probably overdoes how we feel about things. So how would we feel about this game had the refs not made the call, or if a 35% three-point shooter and Jaren Jackson, probably less with Rudy flying at him, misses that shot? And, you know, I'm not always going to do it, but I do think that you have to be a little careful in, you know, reacting to recency or to just kind of result bias. So result bias is we lost. However, I actually think there's some aspects to this that show you what's, you know, things that are wrong. Like yesterday on the show, we were going to deep dive into the defense. We'll do that today. And you're going to see on the deep dive of the defense a lot of items that manifested itself last night. Hey, there's a lot to look at in last night's loss. It's a bad loss because for a few reasons. So it's a bad loss because the game was completely under control. Your Andy Larson had it. Your win probability was high 90s. You have the two major circumstances where you have the ball to win the game. I actually think the other reason that it's a bad loss is we don't have a good win. I'm not sure that we really have had a chance for a good win, but we beat Denver in a game in which Jokic got ejected at halftime. We beat Milwaukee when they're missing four out of five starters, not our fault. We won in Atlanta, which probably is our best win of the year. Beat Philadelphia with half their roster, beat Toronto without OG Anunoby. Like, beating Sacramento three times is cute, but they're a mess. And so when we lose to Indiana, lose twice to Miami, lose to Chicago, without that like confidence building win right now, I think it hurts our, you know, I think it questions like, are we actually that good? Like, I think there's a question mark to that right now that we didn't have. We're 11-6, so we're obviously very good. Our offense is through the roof, so we're obviously very good. We were 52-20 last year, so we're obviously very good. We've also now lost two fourth quarter leads this year, and we lost two all of last year. And the eye test all season long hasn't really looked like last year, and seasons are not contiguous or continuous. Like, the idea that you're going to run it back is this ridiculous concept. Everybody went to their offseason. Everybody went to their own world. We tried to upgrade with Whiteside for Favors and Gay for Niang, and those will, over time, we'll find out if those are upgrades. There's strengths to them, and there's weaknesses. There's a real issue with them that I'll probably talk about tomorrow. So I think my point of this is that it hurts, and looking at the big picture, it hurts because we don't have these wins right now that make us feel like we're good enough. In fact, played good Chicago team, we lost. We played good Miami team, we lost twice. Those would have been good wins. Otherwise, we haven't had a lot of chances of good wins, but the very few chances we've had, we didn't get. Last night wouldn't have been a good win, but it would have been a win against a feisty Memphis team that came in very similar to Indiana off one of their worst performances ever, you know, with an effort level, and we allowed their effort to outdo us. Let's look at the game a little bit through some of the numbers. I mean, here's my quick take on the game before we dig in the numbers. Had the game, let it slip away. By letting it slip away, you let a referee inadvertent whistle change the outcome. Memphis made a ton of plays late to their credit. Same issue that's been bothering us all year long on the defensive end, which we'll dig into here. Defensive rebounding and transition cost us the game. And one of our two best players, and Donovan, was not very good last night. Got, you know, thoroughly outplayed by Desmond Bane. Strange. Happens. But that's it. So let's look at a few things, and then we'll deep dive in the defense. I always like to look at the game by the quarters, and kind of it gives you, I think, a flow of the game. We do this a lot when the game dictates it. So we'll do it here. So first thing is, I actually think the Jazz did a decent job on Morant. He's great, but they forced him to take 30 shots to get us 30 points. First quarter was even. The offensive rating on both sides was 118. Okay. So, you know, what does that mean? 118 on both sides. If right now the best offense in the NBA is the Jazz at 114.5. So both teams offensively in the first quarter were tremendous. Or actually, that's for the game. Sorry, that's for the game. 118. So this is an offensive game where the defenses didn't get stopped. First quarter, we're a 120. They're a 104. So in the first quarter, we come out, we play pretty good defense, 120-104. And if you dig into then, the only thing is that they get 31% of their misses as offensive rebounds. 31%, super high. Second quarter, we same thing. Our offensive ratings are 120. They're 108. We've actually dominated this game. And in the second quarter, they don't get offensive rebounds. So we're in complete control. First half numbers, like that's just a great, we don't shoot the three great. We do it all the ways we talked about on yesterday's show. We're shooting the two brilliantly. We have a 120. They're a 106. I mean, this is a brilliant first half of basketball. This is a feisty team that every time we try to stretch out, comes at us, and we're playing really like this first half of basketball, despite, you know, some guys not having a terrific first half, is brilliant. So Desmond Bane's going off. He's got 15. Donovan's 4 of 12, but he's got 14 points on 12 shots, so it's fine. He's got 4 assists, 2 turnovers. He's moving the ball. Conley's having a great game. He's plus 10. Our bench lineup is terrific. We're really throttling them at this point. But we're only up 6. But if you beat the Grizzlies by 12 at home, which is the equivalent of that, that's a really good game. The third quarter, we just don't come out with the same juice, and we can't get stops, or they've made an adjustment, and they do. Taylor Jenkins makes some great adjustments. He gets Jaren Jackson going offensively. He hides Ja Morant, so he can't get the Ja Morant, Steven Adams pick and roll in the same way. We don't seem as detailed to get to it, frankly. We still crush them offensively with a 138 offensive rating, but our defense is a disaster. Our defense is a 146 in the third quarter. It's a disaster. And it's not, and they get 30% of their offensive rebounds. The storyline we'll give as well, because we're turning the ball over too much. We turned the ball over 3 times in that quarter. We just could not stop them in the half court last night in the third quarter, which is not usually a problem for us. Now, did we lose focus? Did we let go of the rope? Did we just think we could cruise, that we just could beat them offensively. We wanted the easy route. Did we start worrying about who got possessions in the third quarter and whose turn it was to shoot? We had like this incredibly strangely balanced quarter where everybody took a shot. Nobody took more than four. Sounds good. Not sure it's perfect. We'll get into that tomorrow on the show. We shot 6 of 9 from three. We shot 52%. We were incredible, and they were better. We go to the fourth quarter, and our defense now becomes a defensive battle, but our offensive rating goes to a 92 in the fourth quarter. We suddenly can't score in the fourth quarter. Their offense is a 112.5. So with the game on the line, suddenly our offense disappeared, which is strange. We were 7 of 25 at 13. We took 13 of 20 shots as threes. Bogey goes nuts and kind of covers up the rest of everybody. 3 of 15 other than Bogey. Donovan goes 0 for 5 in the fourth. He has 3 assists, but he has 2 turnovers. Mike hits 2 shots, and Rudy has a follow. So the real story on this one is if you dig into the numbers, Memphis scores at 97.6 in the half court, which is about the same rate we do it. And then they were better in, they got out in transition a little bit more than we did. And that's where they beat us, is on the fact that they got, you know, they end up grabbing the extra offensive rebounds and getting those extra possessions. I believe they finished the night with 31% of their misses as offensive rebounds. They stole those extra possessions. We don't do a good job in the half court last night, which is unusual defensively. And then we allow the offensive rebounds. So the turnovers certainly did not help, particularly Donovan's 2 big ones that led to layups the other way. Those are easy points. But frankly, they're usually more painful to us because no one can score us in the half court, and they did last night. And then in the fourth quarter, we just got wacky offensively. Suddenly, you know, one of the things we're doing well, we talked about, is shooting twos. I'm not saying we should shoot twos, but we should be willing to, because usually teams are hugging our shooters so much that we're making those twos. Now, the numbers come back to normal on those two. I think we were 23 of 38 in the first half on twos. It's probably not a number we can maintain. All right, I'm going to dig into the defense next. I don't know that I feel as though I've left something kind of empty about that game and thoughts. I'll circle back to it as in that sense, because I do think that I do feel that way, as though I've kind of left something a little empty there. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. The Murdochs have committed that despite the car shortage and everything going on and the fact that most people are charging more on the MSRP, that they are not going to do that. In fact, they are they will never charge you more than MSRP. The Hyundai lineup's terrific. The Palisade is gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. The Santa Fe is the next line on the SUV. We've actually bought 2 of them in the house. And you have the Kona and the Tucson that are all fabulous. And I'm driving the Sonata right now, and I can't imagine you need anything more out of a sedan than what I'm getting right now. It is a beautiful, beautiful car. Here's the latest. There are 5 Elantras available, 3 Sonatas available, 13 Tucsons available, 2 Tucson hybrids, 5 Santa Cruzes available, 21 Santa Fes available, and 2 Palisades available. So great time right now to trade in your car and get a new one. There are actually finally cars on the lot. That's all at Murdoch Hyundai, located 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. Today's show is also brought to you by Truebill. It's an interesting product. I've actually grabbed a hold of it. We started sponsoring it. I'd never heard of it before we sponsored it. And now I'm using it. It's nice. It's a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forget about. And average people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts to Truebill and we'll cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. They have over 2 million users and they've helped save over $100 million. Don't fall into subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Find out what you're paying for, what those bills are. Plus, it also organizes all of your stuff, notifies you when bills are done. It's nice. Does a nice job. I got it just because we sponsored it. I'm pretty pleased. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Let's go to some of your comments and see if it sparks something that we should be talking about. Riker says the Grizzlies' points off turnovers were significant in this game. They certainly were. They had 24 points off turnovers. We had two. That's a big difference. The numbers that we should be watching on us is steals. So this is where I think some of this is being slightly overblown. Okay? It's a 24 points off 14 turnovers is a bad number. Honestly, what that tells me is that when we turn the ball over, on 9 of our dead ball turnovers last night, I'm making this up, but is that we're so mad that we didn't get a shot attempt off, or that someone turned it over before they gave one of us a shot attempt. We don't play defense on the other side. Honestly, that's what that number says to me. Not what we think. We only had 5 steals. We only gave up. Oh no, we gave up 10 steals last night. Take it back. We had 5 steals. 10 steals is a dramatic amount. You give up 10 live ball turnovers, you're in trouble. So 100%. I thought that number was low. So we had 10 live ball turnovers last night, and we had 4 dead ball turnovers last night. No, absolutely opposite of what I was saying. 100% Riker, is that you can't give up live ball turnovers like that. 10 live ball turnovers is crazy. Here's what off the turnovers last night. I want to see if I have that. Or just in transition last night. Off live steals, Memphis had 1.5 points off all live turnovers last night. So off those, they had 15 points off those 10 steals. We had 0 off of our 5. So off the live ball turnover, we're the worst in the NBA at that, by the way. Actually, to be specific and not grandiose, we're 28th in the NBA defending off a live ball turnover. So you're absolutely right. Any thoughts on the zone defense? Quinn doesn't seem to be a fan. Miami has some success with it. Would really keep Rudy near the rim. Maybe he'll take away the rim completely. I think you'll see them fiddle with it more and more. This leads us to the defense. Let's dig in for a second here. So teams are trying to move Rudy. But here are some data points that are interesting. So 2 years ago against the pick and roll, Rudy Gobert was a 0.89. Really, really good. Last year, he had one of the great defensive seasons. He slid it down to a 0.86. This year, he's 0.795. He's a 0.1 per possession better on the pick and roll than he was 2 years ago. That's stunning. It probably has to come up a little bit, but that's a stunning number. It's Ja Morant and Steven Adams together are 0.1, 0.2, and Rudy Gobert's a 0.79. That's the worst of the best play. Teams are running 53 picks per 100 possessions against us, 33 a game against Rudy. Like, it's the exact same amount against Rudy as it was 2 years ago, and it's more than they were running last year. Teams have moved Rudy and are attacking him less. He's contesting 1.5 shots less than he was a year ago. However, it's still the third most in the NBA. Last year was the second most in the NBA. Is Rudy's impact the same? Players are down 7 percentage points if Rudy's the closest defender. Pretty much exactly the same as last year. Inside 6 feet, he's contesting 8 shots instead of 9. And teams are shooting 46% this year. Last year it was 48. And he's 15 percentage points better rather than 14%. Exact same. So why is the defense worse? The defense is 2 points per 100 possessions worse this year when Rudy Gobert is on the floor than compared to last year. And the offense as a league is down 2 or 3. So it's really a 4 or 5 point difference. It's really significant. So let's look at half-court defense. Our half-court defense with Rudy Gobert on the floor is an 87.5, and last year was 87.7. Let me say those again. I know numbers are hard when they're flying at you. 87.5 versus 87.7. Exact same. Here are the differences. When Rudy Gobert is on the floor this year, these numbers were before last night. We are allowing 31% offensive rebounding rate. So one thing is maybe Rudy's not rebounding as well, though his rebounding rate is at an all-time and he's leading the league in rebounding. Two is that teams are moving Rudy out more. We're defending okay, but then we don't make the last defensive play that we need to make, which is get the rebound. Three is we're super small. Bojan Bogdanović, Royce O'Neal, Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell are all undersized for their position. And most of them are bad rebounders. Bojan's a terrible rebounder. Royce is pretty good for his position. Depending what you think his position is, if you think he's power forward, then he's not as good. And Donovan and Mike are rebounders. And teams know it. Last year, we allowed 22% of our shots to be off, or misses to be offensive rebounds, their misses to be offensive rebounds. This year, 31%. Okay, that's a big deal. One every 10 misses, we're allowing another chance for the other team. That's super significant. And it happened again last night. And what did Memphis do off those last night? They averaged 1.4 points off offensive rebounds last night. So Memphis got 16 extra opportunities. They averaged 1.4 points off those. They got 10 live ball turnovers. They averaged 1.5 off those. It's the game. That's the game, not the refs. That's the game. Okay, digging more. Transition. Last year when Rudy was on the floor, teams were in transition 15% of the time. This year they're in transition 17% of the time. Okay, so teams are running on us more. Now that could be that we're turning it over a little bit more. That could be anything. We're arguing more calls. We're staying back and complaining more. We want ball touches more offensively and so we don't get back defensively. And teams are scoring 4 points per 100 possessions more in transition than they did a year ago. Our transition defense is not as good. So we're allowing, with Rudy on the floor, at least one every 10 shots in offensive rebound. Then we're allowing transition probably one or two or three more times a game for one or two more points a game. The same thing we talk about a lot about our offense, where you try to put these things together and you just add a point here, a point here, a point here, a point here, a point here. The same thing is happening reverse to us on defense. One note that's a little disconcerting for me right now is that the two most frequent lineups that we use with Hassan Whiteside have become very poor defensively. This is what we dealt with last year with Rudy when Rudy went off and Derek Favors. But the primary lineup Whiteside plays with Donovan Jordan, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanović, Hassan Whiteside, which is a very good lineup because they're great offensively and they grab every offensive rebound known to man, is in the 23rd percentile. The lineup of Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanović, Joe Ingles, and Hassan Whiteside is at a 124 defensive rate in the second percentile, and the lineup is bad. We have a bad lineup. We used to never play Bojan Bogdanović and Joe Ingles together. We're trying it this year, and it is not working. We have a lineup. We'll talk about lineups here in a second. We have a lineup that's a problem. We haven't had that in a little while. We'll continue with your questions, your comments, your thoughts. We've got some complaining about the refs, which we do. And we've got some questions about Don. Don wasn't very good last night. He got beat up by Desmond Bane. It's funny. I went back and looked at my college numbers on Desmond Bane. You wondered because he was too old, but his college numbers at TCU were just brilliant. 30th pick of the draft. What a steal. I want to tell you about Shopify. It's the sounds of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform where you can start, run, and grow your business. If you don't know about Shopify, Shopify is a complete commerce platform that lets you start, grow, and manage a business. The subscription-based software allows anyone to set up an online store and sell their products. Shopify owners can also sell in a physical locations using Shopify point of sale app and accommodating hardware. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. Synchronize online and in-person sales effortlessly and stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibilities, and Shopify helps you make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA, all lowercase, for a 14-day free trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. That's shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. Rock Auto. Our good friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto store to have them all. So when you go to a local chain store, what's happening to you is you're getting their prices of their inventory at their moment. But Rock Auto is here to save you time and money. Why choose to spend up to 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oils, and even new carpet. We encourage you to check it out at rockauto.com. See the old school site. Realize how easy it is to get along. There's no frills here. There's no marketing here. Go explore the website today. Find the solutions from your auto part needs. Go to Rock Auto right now and see all the parts your car or truck will ever need. And please write Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Let me touch on the lineup issue for a second. We haven't had this go on for a little while. And last night, it was really relevant. So in last night's game, if you dig into the game, and from a lineup standpoint last night, one of the things is that the killer lineup of our stars against bench was fabulous. So the Mike Conley, Joe Ingles, Jordan Clarkson, Rudy Gay, and Rudy Gobert lineup, right? So I stuttered while I said that, but I was trying to get it right. So it's Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert back on the floor together, now with Rudy Gay instead of George Niang. And it's got Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson together. So that lineup last night, to the best of my knowledge, was about plus 9 or 10. And then we lose the game. So, and I'm pulling it up right now. I have to hit a million little things to get it. I don't know where to find lineup data on the NBA as well. So that lineup that I just mentioned last night played 11 minutes. It's our number two lineup on the floor. It was plus 12. It's pretty good. We shot 58% when they're on the floor, 29% from three, had 11 defensive rebounds. We were good. The lineup of Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Joe Ingles, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Hassan Whiteside in 6 minutes last night was minus 9. Who cares? It's one night plus and minus. It's not a great thing to look at, except for the fact that that lineup is now minus 6.5 per 100 possessions for the season. It is allowing Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles, and Hassan Whiteside is allowing opposing teams to garner 40% of their misses as offensive rebounds. 39 to be exact, but let's round up and make it sound worse. Their defense with Donovan, Royce, Joe, Bojan, and Hassan Whiteside on the floor is in the second percentile. A 124.3. That is the only lineup we have on the roster that is playing our primary guys. In other words, not Trent Forrest or not Jared Butler. That has played more than 40 possessions. That's negative. The only next one you can find that's negative in, it's only played 26 possessions, is Mike Conley, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles, and Rudy Gobert, and it's minus 25 per 100 possessions. Limited time. Same story, though. Defense is at 140. worth keeping an eye on. I'll just put it that way. We have generally tried to avoid playing Bojan Bogdanovic and Joe Ingles together. And when Jordan Clarkson was struggling this year, we did some things to try to separate Donovan Mitchell and Royce and Jordan Clarkson and do that. And last year it worked. Last year, that lineup Bojan and Joe played about 2,000 possessions together, and it worked. I think it was like plus 12. The year before, in 1920, it actually worked as well. Like, we've kind of generally avoided it, but found a way to make it work. And so I don't know if that's a legitimate question mark, if those two are the ones. It feels like it when you look at that. But over the last 2 years, we've tried not to do it a lot, but it has worked when it's been there. All right. There's some silly slander in the chat room. So let's start with Brandon Whiteside, who's usually pretty smart, but also an extremist. That's said with love. Mitchell's not looked like his all-star self. The last play fading away on the long two seems poor. Attack the hoop, try to get a foul. Mitchell have a lot more problems creating spaces here. So Donovan's the number one pick and roll player in the NBA right now. He's shooting twos at a higher percentage than he's ever shot them. And he's missing the area where Donovan is slightly off this year is that last year on catch and shoots and the year before he's at 43%. And this year he's at 30%. Like, that one little change, he'd be fine. His pull-up three-point shooting, which he lives by, he's actually never been great at. He was 36% last year, 32% the year before. He's at 32% this year. So that he's right around there. The only thing different about Donovan Mitchell is the single best characteristic he's had over the last few years, which is the fact that he's the best catch-and-shoot guy in the NBA. He's not making that shot. On that last play, I got to watch it again. The NBA replay didn't help me out. I thought Joe missed him when he was first open. So by the time he got it, he was standing still in the back corner. Had to go. Desmond Bane was great. 30th pick of the NBA draft a few years ago. Desmond Bane was great. He's big. He's strong. He's physical. He moves his feet. He's super defensively. They had never guarded each other. Interestingly. Like, Desmond Bane did not guard Donovan in the playoffs last year. Instead, I guarded in the playoffs last year was Dylan Brooks, and Donovan killed Dylan Brooks. Killed him. I was trying to find Desmond Bane's draft numbers from a few years ago. And I can't find it. I looked at it last night. They were good. And so on that last, like, the chances of shooting well on a last play, by the way, I think we're overplaying. Like, I heard everyone say, oh, it's a bad look. Like, you don't get great looks in 5 seconds. So that play wasn't perfect. Donovan could have done some different things. I really thought they were going to try to slip the pick and get Rudy Gobert on the roll because they had the lineup out there to switch everything. But the play before where he turns it over, the play where he turns it over on the fast break are probably two worst plays. I mean, he didn't have a great game, but I'm not sure I'm going to go with it. He's like suddenly take a larger concept that he's off of. He's number one pick. Number two, Seth Curry and Kevin Durant, depending on your searches, are better. He's like one of the best pick and roll players in the league. I mean, he's having an incredible year. Refs killed us. Both Ja and Jackson's push-offs were terrible. I've seen many of them get called. I don't care about the jump ball, but man, that was a tough one to watch. Thanks for the show. Best show. Thanks, Paul. You know, I think that's emotion. I love emotion. I love it. Brandon with another hot take. Ingles getting smoked on defense and hesitant on offense. Is he on the wrong side of age? I mean, this was the question coming in on our team. This was the question. We had a bunch of guys who had career years last year, and we have a bunch of guys in Bojan and Joe and Donovan and Rudy Gay, Mike and Rudy Gay, who are all right on the precipice of the age issue. And that's how you win a championship, is you put veteran, older players together. They come together and they win it. You win with age. And it's hard to say whether or not, this is the risk. I don't know. I mean, Joe's still shooting it great. I'll get into what I think some of what you're talking about tomorrow. Look, we got a possession thing going that's hard. Quinn talked about it yesterday pregame out of nowhere. So we'll talk about that tomorrow on that. Appreciate all the passion, all the love for the team. Hopefully they'll pull it back together. Last night was not a good one, though. And, you know, it's the Indiana game as well that these teams came in here hot, angry, mad, with a lot of juice, and we didn't match it. And do we? That's the disturbing thing. You know, and I don't know if you tie it back to the Denver playoff series, the Clippers playoff series, but finishing is an issue that we've got to, that this team's got to get better at. All right, that is Locked On Jazz, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. Locked On Bets is up and available for you. And if you're a big NBA fan, go check out Locked On Now. It's kind of fun. Podcast Locked On Now. It's available at the Locked On NBA YouTube channel too. Thank you very much. Subscribe, hit the bell, join us. Thanks.